Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get a thought or two from Steve on that, in addition to all of the things from last night. And we turn right around and get our butts back over to Thrive City tomorrow. I want to take this opportunity to mention to everybody, especially if you're going to the game, we will be inside Splash yesterday, outside tomorrow night, inside, as we're there for the home opener with Jokic in town. And we've got a really, really cool guest list that's going to actually include, at one point, Mark Spears, who's going to come on by and sit with us inside Splash.
Awesome.
And talk a little Dubs basketball.
Love some Mark Spears. Yeah. And, I mean, few people know the NBA and the Golden State Warriors like Mark Spears does. So we'll get his early thoughts on, you know, what you saw from the opener and that. The fit of Al Horford and J.K. in the starting lineup and Will Richard, who I absolutely love, and everything else with this Warrior team. It's going to be a 15-man team with different players playing at different times.
Well, and again, they've got these built-in acquisitions that are coming. Moses Moody, DeAnthony Melton, Seth Curry. Can't wait to ask Steve how he sees those kind of playing out, maybe shuffling the lineup. And yes, there'll be nights where guys are going to sit out and there's injuries around the corner that we don't know about yet, and all of those things. Remember the word that he kept using at the start of last year? Connectivity. They really wanted everything to be connected. And as I listened to him so far this year, I think looking back on it, maybe things weren't as connected as they were hoping that they would be. And some of that was because of what developed, right? Jimmy wasn't on the team yet at that time. They really thought that DeAnthony Melton was a connective piece. And then a few games in, he was gone, but he sort of reset it to us again last week, the idea of how the puzzle pieces all fit. And I took that at the time to mean basketball, and I do think that's what he meant, but I think maybe I wonder if he meant more than just that. And again, I think it goes to the point that we've been talking about a lot today in listening to a lot of these guys talk about each other and about the situation last night after the game, and then more commentary from Buddy Hield and Jimmy Butler pointed at each other in a comical way. I wonder if there's something that's a little bit next level in the way these guys fit away from the court as well, as opposed to not, you know, just on it.
It's pretty good, and I see both. And, you know, they all went to San Diego and hung out in Jimmy's wine cellar, which apparently is epic, and JK didn't make that trip, but the rest of the team did, and they all came back with the same review, which is awesome wine cellar and fun to hang out and get to know each other. And I think about last year in connectivity, you had Kyle Slow-Mo Anderson come in, and he never really found his footing in what role he would want. DeAnthony Melton looked like a great fit. Then he got hurt. Dennis Schroeder was a guy who I don't think basketball-wise was ever a great fit. And then beyond that, you had JK in and out, on again, off again. I don't think that you ever had what, I mean, it's early one game in, but it looks like this group, the role definition is pretty much it's not set in stone, but it feels like most guys are going to know what's expected.
I wonder how much of that was circumstantial, right? Moody is out, or the matchup with Luka, or we'll ask, you know, is this kind of the plan that he's going to go with right now? So we'll get into all that. It's so funny. You and I have talked about this a lot. You know, one game in any sport, even in baseball, but one game in any sport can just, it's the ultimate elixir. It changes everybody's perspective. I've heard this from a number of people today. I heard you just say it, I think. And I don't think this was ever off of the table, but last night has made people feel, in this moment, like we don't need to talk about a trade in February. Maybe the guy you want to acquire is Jonathan Kuminga. Now, I don't know how Jonathan feels about that. You know what I mean? Like him sort of having light bulbs go on and the effort is there to play the way the Warriors want him to play doesn't necessarily mean that that's how he wants to play long term. But I wonder where the thought process is within the organization right now, because I do think all summer long the idea was, let's put something together that keeps you here for now and then kind of levels the salary up, and it's a high likelihood that there'll be a deal for us on the table in January or February. Right. I don't know, man. I mean, it's one basketball game, so whatever. But
tiny,
like,
sample.
Yeah, but if he just starts going, I'm going to go get 9 or 10 rebounds a night, well, now... Yeah, I wonder if the Warriors are like, well, then we don't need to trade him.
We don't need to trade him. So if you want to trade Kuminga, you'd be looking for a guy who can get you 17, 9, and 6, which is what he gave you last night. And I
with
know
athleticism,
there,
please.
Thank you.
If possible.
If you have it.
And some youth,
it'd
please.
It'd be great if you were young and we had one more year of team control. That'd be wonderful. So that is the player that they would be looking to acquire. Can Jonathan Kuminga be that player 49 more times before the deadline, which I believe is at the 50-game mark? Well, not every night, but the thing about last night that made me so happy and so positive about the future is the little things where, even when he didn't get the rebound, he was going for the rebound. He was in the mix. He was pursuing rebounds that he wasn't going to get, but still jump up and take a swipe at it. And he had a tie-up where he actually was involved in a jump ball. I don't know if you remember that, where it's because he tied the ball up or they tied him up, but whatever, he was in the mix, and then he was able to win the tip with two taps. So it's all those little things that I saw that make me feel like, yeah, maybe this will work long term.
Is that the play you're talking about? Is that the one Draymond was talking about, the rebound that JK went to go get? Is that this is Draymond on Kuminga last night.
His performance was great. That rebound is what everyone in the world has been waiting to see. You know, you got that athleticism. You go make big plays like that. You got superstar potential. You go make big plays. Those are game winning plays. What did we get? Two free throws out of that? Like, those are game winning plays, you know? And so, you know, we all can ask for opportunity. When you ask for opportunity, you must deliver. I think he's been very vocal about his opportunity and he delivered. And so, you know, when you see a guy that's willing to put their neck on the line and be vocal, and then they deliver, you also must reward them. Because if they don't, you tear them down. That's just naturally what happens. If you be vocal and you don't deliver, you get torn down. So when you're vocal and you go deliver the way he did all night, he was guarding Luka all night.
I know our guy who called earlier, Austin in San Jose, is I'm sure still listening. He's a P1, and we appreciate the heck out of him. But give that answer a listen when you ask to sort of go back in time and go, if JK is going to play like that, do you want to put any of the blame on Steve Kerr, basically for not playing him earlier? Therefore, the implication being, if Steve would have just played him, then that would have happened. Well, I give you what Draymond just said. Listen to the way he started that comment. That play is what everyone's been waiting for. The way he phrases that, I think, to me, is very definitive with regard to where this situation sits and why last night might, I will still use the word might, be a sign of really, really exciting things to come. Because if this is starting to blend, if that is a sign that Jonathan is really seeing the light and understanding what the team wants him to do, and he's able to go do that with some consistency, well, we got a different conversation going forward for sure. All right, we ready to rock? Okay, let's do it. Steve is here. Let's go out to the River Islands guest line and talk to Steve Kerr. Presented by Great Clips in sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Good evening, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're fantastic, but you're probably better. 1-0. What's your overall takeaway from last night?
Yeah, really good night. You know, it's always fun to win the opener, just get off on the right track. And I thought our guys played an excellent second half. Our first half was not very good, but, you know, opening night, butterflies and a lot of turnovers. We settled down nicely, though, and a lot of guys played really well, and it's a good win.
Yeah, very sloppy, I thought, both ways in the first half. Would you chalk that up to just opening night jitters or just kind of the way it was so choppy with, you know, the officiating, a lot of whistles, and even a player of yours getting a tee from the bench, which I don't know if I've seen before.
Yeah, I think it was the turnovers really that hurt us. I mean, we had 6 or 7 transition opportunities that should not have been difficult. You know, as long as we're spaced and you have a man advantage, the game, that's when that game is actually the easiest. And we didn't handle the transition well at all. I think we had 2 charges. We had an illegal screen. We had a pass we caught out of bounds. We had poor spacing. So we cleaned that up in the second half. Our guys did a great job of taking care of the ball, making the most of every possession, and we were able to pull away.
Steve, you know us fans are always interested in who's starting and who's finishing. So last night's starting lineup, was there some circumstantial nature to it because Moses is not available or because Luka is a defensive thing you have to deal with, or is that lineup that you put out there last night something you'd like to work with for a little while?
Well, you know, the lineup decision was made based on Moses not being available. I would have started Moses had he been healthy, based on the way we finished last year. You know, we really found a good group, but there's a lot that goes into the equation this year. I really don't want to play Draymond at the 5 all season long. So there will be games where I start bigger. But last night felt like a great night for Jonathan. He's had a really good training camp. We had to guard Luka. And we do want to give that lineup more looks. Draymond, Jimmy, Steph, BP, and JK. So didn't get a lot of reps last year because Jonathan was hurt when we got Jimmy and missed the next 20 games or so. We just found a great groove with what we were doing. So this is a fresh start for some looks at different lineups. And I thought JK played really well with them.
Certainly more on that coming up. But while we're on the Moses Moody subject, what is the update on his status and what do you see as that role once he's ready to go?
Yeah, he's not going to play tomorrow, but we're hopeful that he could play in Portland. And we'll see. I mean, it's a brand new year and things change and who knows how this is going to play out. I mean, as I said, I don't really want to start Draymond at the 5 every game. So if I start big, that means maybe Al or Quentin Post at the 5 and Draymond at the 4, Jimmy at the 3. That removes, not Steph, obviously, but it removes either right. Moses or Buddy or JK or whoever it is. So it's we don't have this thing all figured out just yet, but I know that we have a ton of options and we've got a lot of depth on this team, which I love.
When you look at Jimmy, JK, and Draymond last night, just a small sample, what were the things that you saw from that trio, especially Jonathan Kuminga, that made you encouraged by having those three play more together?
Well, the athleticism and just the ability to switch, 3, 4, and 5, The defensive connection was good. I thought the offense was really clunky in the first half. We finally started getting the ball moved in the second half, and that's when the game broke open. JK and Steph and Draymond had several possessions in the third quarter where we got things moving. We manipulated the defense, and JK had a nice slip to the rim for a layup and knocked down a couple shots. And so, you know, way better in the second half than it was in the first offensively. But I liked the defense and the athleticism, you know, the entire time they were out there. And that's, of course, what's intriguing about putting them together.
Steve Kerr with us every single week on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. The coach with us after the 1-0 start with the win in L.A. last night. Yeah, Steve, that early third quarter basketball was beautiful. I thought that second half was some of the best basketball I can remember Jonathan Kuminga playing in quite some time. So that's really encouraging. I wonder sort of like if you can take us into this dynamic that you talked about last night. I'm super intrigued by it. Jonathan with a couple of possessions that you guys didn't love, but that he immediately kind of waved to you and gave you the, my bad, I know. Like, can you take us through that dynamic? Because it sounds like maybe there's been some progression there.
Oh, I think he's really matured. I think the veteran players have really helped him in training camp. Jimmy has been working with him after practice. And I just think JK is in a much better place now than, you know, he was even a year ago. And some of that is just a comfort level with the team around him. Some of that is growth and maturity that you expect from a young player. And I know that I'm really excited about just how he's progressed both on and off the court. And he's going to be a huge part of what we do this year.
Jimmy Butler particularly said he's kind of taken JK under his wing. What are the things that you look for JK to learn from Jimmy Butler specifically to help elevate his game and get him to where you guys want him to be?
Well, I think Jimmy can deliver the message better than anybody else, better than I can, for sure. You know, I think players learn from each other and they respect, you know, the vets. And so the messages we're trying to send to JK aren't different now than they were the last few years. It's they're just more likely to take because of now the experience JK has being in the league for several years and hearing Jimmy, you know, reiterate those messages and what those things are, you know, sprint the floor and rebound. And when he does that, his athleticism really pops and we can really feel him. He's defending well. I thought he defended Luka pretty well last night. Actually, there's just not a whole lot you can do with that guy. But, you know, JK is going to be hugely important for us this year in defending, you know, the best wing players. So, he's really had a good camp, and like I said, he's off to a good start.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to love hearing the spot that you're sort of describing right now for this situation. I wonder, though, if you could take us in sort of where this has been inside your heart and mind. Was there ever any doubt that you had with regard to Kuminga and the team kind of blending and having this work?
Well, I mean, it's not exactly news that, you know, he was frustrated last year and that he wanted a bigger role and that the fit was tricky. And I think, you know, when we look back at it, it actually makes perfect sense, right? I mean, we draft him. He was 19. He had played eight or nine games in the COVID G League bubble in Orlando. That was the extent of his, you know, experience and preparation for being on the Golden State Warriors. So that's a lot to ask for a young player. We won the championship in his first year, but very little experience. He also started the game late, you know, learning and growing up in the Congo and moving to the United States. So there was a lot really going on, and he joined, unlike all the other guys in his draft class at the top of the draft, he joined a team that was trying to win a championship. So a lot of growing pains and difficult fit, all that stuff. But I think he's gotten dramatically better. I think he's matured, and I think he's ready to really help us win a lot of games. And, you know, hopefully, even though the path was rocky, hopefully, ultimately, everyone gets what they want.
Yeah, I don't know what you're referring to, Steve, about a rocky path, but I'm more curious about, like, how much better has he gotten from last year to this year? Because the summer, we know, was, yeah, rocky path, but when you look at him as just a player now, where are the areas where you look at JK and say, yeah, that's a clear-cut improvement?
Well, 9 rebounds last night, 6 in Portland in his last exhibition game that he only played the first half in because of the ejection. And he's passing the ball better than he's passed it in 4 years. 6 assists last night. The thing we're still trying to work with him on that I think he improved on in the second half was understanding the power of Steph. You know, go and set a screen for him and slip to the rim. He got a layup from Draymond early in that third quarter. I thought that play alone changed the game. And that's, you know, that's the hardest thing for players to do when they get here is to understand how to play with Steph and to utilize, you know, his gravity, his force, to open up other opportunities to score either for yourself or someone else. And so I think that's really still the area that we're going to hammer home with JK because there's no doubt if you use Steph the right way, that's the best way for us to win.
Steve, you've mentioned that Al Horford will not play back-to-backs, and I'm curious how you'll go about deciding which end of the back-to-back it will be. Will it be kind of about his health? Will it be matchup dependent? For instance, will he play tomorrow because Jokic is in town, or would you save him for Portland?
He'll play tomorrow and then sit in Portland. That's the plan. But that will always be subject to how Al is feeling. You know, as we go during the 82 games, there's going to be nights where, you know, maybe he's banged up, he's not feeling great. We don't have the luxury to decide which game to sit him on. So, but this week, first week of the season, he's feeling well. We'll play him tomorrow and we'll give him the night off in Portland.
How do you address that or approach that with the other veterans? I think you've got 5 back-to-backs in the first 5 or 6 weeks. So is it never too early to start thinking about load management? And what's the process to try to figure out the best time to give some vets some early breathers?
Well, we go over the schedule. I go over the schedule with Rick Celebrini and our performance team, and they make recommendations, and they're checking in with the players every single day about how they're feeling. And then we look at matchups, and, you know, it's going to be tricky this year because I'm sure there will be games where more than one of our vet players sits. And so we're going to have to figure out combinations, change some starting lineups here and there, and make sure we get the bench rotation the way it's going to be most productive and efficient. And so those are all the things that we will discuss, you know, organizationally as the year goes.
Steve, with each week, are you going to give us a look at a different part of your house? Like, is that Muhammad Ali behind your right shoulder?
Underwater Ali.
Yeah. So you're probably going to see Muhammad every week.
Okay.
This is going to be my spot.
That's your spot. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's a beautiful piece. What is that?
It's a print from, it's actually a famous print from the 70s. I can't remember the name of the photographer, but he literally, you know, just decided I want to take a photo of Muhammad Ali underwater. And it's an iconic spot or shot. And, you know, he's an iconic figure, just an amazing athlete and activist and somebody who literally, you know, changed the world with his personality and his beliefs. And so I'm a fan, and I my wife and I love the print. And so, yeah, here it is in our house.
I love it. Did you ever get a chance to meet Muhammad Ali?
I did. I met him in Phoenix kind of later in his life when I was working as a GM for the Suns, and that was quite a thrill.
All right, Steve, who are you betting on in this Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry free throw shooting contest?
I'll let you guys handle the wagers. We just had a major meeting with the league yesterday on you know the fact that we are not allowed to wager on any NBA game. So I'm not allowed to wager on the free throw battle between those two.
Fair enough. But I wonder then if you could weigh in on this. Like, we were just talking about this a little bit ago, and I'm mindful of when Jimmy was acquired and you had told us, you're like, I never met the guy before. This has to have exceeded expectations. He comes in with this sort of league-wide reputation of maybe being a little rough around the edges. And then there he is, not just being the basketball player he is, this leadership role that he seems to have grabbed within your locker room is incredible. Even the way he's handling things like the press conferences after games and whatnot. To what level did you see this coming, and how has that evolved?
Well, I didn't know for sure because I didn't know Jimmy. I had never spent any time with him, but I knew how good he was, and I knew how competitive he was. So I figured it'd be a good fit. I think the thing that jumps out to me, you know, two things: his competitive desire, his competitive fight. You know, that's so obvious. His desire and ability to just take over games every single night. There aren't many guys in the league who can do that. And then just what a great stabilizing force he is for us. And we need that. You know, I've talked about this openly over the years. Part of our strength is our chaos that Steph and Draymond generate. And that's part of our weakness, too. Those guys can get a little out of hand, and the ball starts flying around. And it's why we've always thrived the most with guys like Andre Iguodala or Sean Livingston, you know, David West, Zaza, you know, these guys who could just kind of complement Steph and Dre and Clay with really solid, fundamental, smart basketball. And so Jimmy gives us that, but in a package of someone who can get 30 points every single night. So it's pretty impressive.
And also in a package of somebody who can get after you, not you in particular, but teammates and refs as well. How has this affected Draymond Green? Has it allowed Draymond to maybe take a step back and not have to be quite so fiery all the time?
Yeah, I think, well, it hasn't changed Draymond's fire at all. I just think it's given him more confidence than ever. That, you know, all players in basketball want to look, you know, to one side of the locker room and the other and feel like, hey, we got a real shot. And that's what Jimmy did. You know, we, the last couple of years after our title in 22, I think we were obviously, you know, really good at times, but you know, with Clay moving on, it just didn't feel like we quite had enough to compete with the very best teams in the league. And and I think that changed the minute we got Jimmy. He's an alpha. He's a superstar. He's got the type of game that just translates every single night to winning. You know, he gets fouled. He gets the game under control. He gets you a shot without having to execute a play. That stuff is hugely valuable.
Steve, what's fascinating to me, though, is that you have these two ultimate, clear, vocal alphas. And I don't know that usually works to have two of those in the exact same room. How do those two guys make that work, and is it your experience that can work?
Yeah. I mean, it is my experience that it can work. It's just, you know, personalities have to form, you know, within the team. Relationships have to form, and guys have to get a feel for one another. And I think the fact that Jimmy and Draymond are such different players really helps. They're not fighting over the ball. They do such different things. They complement one another so well. So I think they both really enjoy, you know, having each other and of course, Steph. And so you end up with this trio of competitive winners setting the tone every day for, you know, a group of other guys. That's a pretty powerful force.
It's very powerful. And, you know, you've got veterans across the board, and Al Horford suddenly makes an older team feel even older. I wonder if you think back to the Spurs teams, late Tim Duncan at 37, and they were able to win the title. Is there any blueprint that you can draw from a veteran team like that was able to navigate it and win the title?
Yeah, I guess the Spurs just would probably be as good an analogy as any with Duncan and Ginobili, and those two in particular being somewhat older. I don't spend too much time thinking about any of that. I mean, our job is just put together the best team we can while we're navigating the 82-game season and, you know, trying to keep guys healthy and fresh. And that's going to be the challenge, because of the age of Al and the three guys you just mentioned. We're going to have to navigate this thing. And I'm glad we have our performance staff to help us do that and the players themselves. We're confident that if we can get to the playoffs in one piece, that we can beat anybody.
Speaking of those playoffs, you guys are already a game up on the Rockets.
Yeah,
they're
go.
All the way down in the 15 seed, Steve. I don't know if you've seen that. How early do you start watching stuff around the league? There's a ton of games tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I have the games on tonight, and I'll be watching every single night. I mean, you don't spend too much time looking at the standings early in the year, but yeah, it's something that all of us on the staff, we love it so much. I'd be watching these games even if this wasn't my job, you know. So we're lucky to do what we love.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Speaking of things that you might keep an eye on, I don't even know if you've heard this today, Steve, but the Giants made an historic hire for their new manager, and they grabbed a guy out of University of Tennessee that has no experience in the pros as a player, coach, or manager. His name is Tony Vitello. And I definitely wanted to get your thoughts on that as kind of a concept of moving into that role when you've never done it before. Like, what would your advice be for Tony?
Well, I don't have any advice. I mean, I just trust that Buster Posey, who's brilliant and obviously a Hall of Fame caliber player, I trust that he knows what he's doing. And you don't bring someone into your locker room unless you think he can handle the job. I read about Tony. I don't know him. I haven't met him. I look forward to it. But the success that he had at Tennessee that he's had, and building the program and developing young players, I imagine Buster saw that as a blueprint for developing a lot of young players here. But you don't have to have done it at this level to be a great manager, and I think that's true in every sport. There's great coaches. I mean, Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time in the NFL, right? Tom Landry, those guys didn't play in the NFL. And I just think that somebody's either going to be able to do it or not, but based on all kinds of different things, not just one thing.
Yeah, well, and I mean, obviously you played for years, but when you were first becoming a head coach, was there something that you sort of, like, was there a conversation with yourself about, like, the person that you needed to kind of become as you stepped into a new role?
Well, it was a lot of conversations with a lot of people that I was leaning on, mentors and other coaches in other sports who I sought advice from. And I think it definitely helped me that I had played, and it helped being a general manager. But yeah, I had never coached, and I had a lot to learn, and that's okay. It's not rocket science what we're doing. It's really more about human relationships and motivation and connection and talent. And if you can put all that stuff together, like we've been fortunate enough to do with the Warriors, then you can have success. But it all starts with the players, and the coach's job is really to try to help the players be the best versions of
probably
themselves.
Probably helps the confidence when you start out 21-2, I would think, huh, Steve, like you did.
Yeah, it helps the confidence when you show up for your first practice and you've got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Yeah, that's very helpful.
Yeah.
Boom. All right. Well, Coach,
coaching.
Save the most important question for the end. What's for dinner?
I don't know yet. We're actually babysitting our granddaughters tonight, so we're driving over to their house and probably going to just order some food.
Oh, that's okay. Okay. I thought maybe the granddaughters were there with you, and that's who was maybe like clanging some things over there.
No. That was our dog Lulu getting her dinner.
Yeah. Well, nice. What's for her dinner then, Steve? I mean, don't leave her out.
Oh yeah, she gets the good stuff.
The good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. We'll see you out there tomorrow night, man. Congrats on win number one.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Okay. There it is. Steve Kerr joining us every single week right here on Willard and Dibbs. Home opener, Jokic in town tomorrow night.
Yep. And Horford in tomorrow. Horford out Friday. Won't play back-to-backs. And stay tuned, Warrior fans, as you get early in the season where you're going to have other of your favorite players not playing basketball because you're going to load manage an older team early and probably more often than you would like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the newsy stuff I thought that came out of that, Horford in tomorrow, he's out at Portland. Moody is out tomorrow. They hope he can play at Portland. And yes, if Moses Moody had been healthy, that would have been your starter last night at basically the one of the forward guard positions.
At the four, and that's kind of what Moses was doing toward the end of last year and into the playoffs. They had Moses playing the four, and he's a guy who can shoot the three, and well, Kuminga can too, based on a small sample. He knocked down all five of his shots in the second half, including three 3-pointers, but yeah, don't despair, Kuminga fans. Even if Moses Moody starts, I'm getting the sense that Kuminga's going to get 25 or 30 minutes on the regular. If he plays like he did last night, he's going to get his minutes.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you need to worry so much about minutes. It's not, I don't think it'll be 33 every night. He led the team in minutes last night. He led the team. He and Pods, actually, both had more minutes than Steph and Jimmy and Draymond and all of them. But it's going to be a moving target. And he also talked about how I think we, as a basketball-watching society, we look at this from the offensive perspective, and they, coaching staffs, often look at it from the defensive perspective. He mentioned Jonathan as one of the few people that has the ability to guard someone like Luka Doncic. Don't get, you know, all distracted by how many points Luka scored. That's what the best in the world have the ability to do on any given night. But sometimes when there's a player like that out there, then yeah, Jonathan will get a start.
43 points on 27 shots. You'll probably take that. I mean, that's not an outlandish ratio. And Luka was 2-for-10 from three. So even when he rose up to shoot a 3-pointer, you contested it. You only gave up 10 free throw attempts to Luka, even though he was flying and falling all over the place. So by and large, I thought JK was fine against Doncic. Yeah. You're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody who can limit him when Luka's the only guy out there, and Austin Reeves had to sit a bunch because he was into foul trouble. Luka played 41 minutes. He took 27 shots, and he had 43. Good for you, Luka.
Yeah.
That's a nice fantasy basketball game, and you take the L.
Yeah.
You can't spell Luka without an L, dog.
Or Lakers.
Right.
Or Los Angeles.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I never felt like Luka was dominating the basketball game.
No, but there were at least a few, three or four or five possessions where you're like, oh my God, this guy. I mean, the dribble, the step back 28-footer.
I mean,
he does things in slow motion that, like, he and Jokic, the same thing. It's like, Jokic had 28, 14, and 11?
But Jokic, I get because of his size. Like, I would love a documentary on how Luka seems to be able to, in slow motion, shoot the ball from wherever he wants on the floor at any time. The best defenders, who are also 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", are right in his hip pocket all the time. And if Luka wants, he just does one little step to the left and releases a jumper. I don't understand how he just gets it off whenever and however he wants.
I think GP2 got him once. He blocked a shot. That was inside the key.
Yeah.
He kind of came over from the backside and swatted it away. But you're right. Other than that, he just kind of lopes around and gets to a spot. And you know he's going to shoot, but you can't get to it. It's a high release, and he's able to create just enough space. And much like Steph Curry, he has no range. So, yeah, you held Luka to 2-for-10 from three. There were a couple of plays where Kuminga was guarding him and he allowed Luka to get half a shoulder by him, and then he fouled him. He kind of bumped into him and fouled him. And those are the ones where he'll learn with experience. Either you foul him and he don't let him have the shot up, or you slide to the baseline side and just play straight up hands up defense.
Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line 510. Great objectivity, homers. Apparently, we did not hold his feet to the fire.
Okay.
We should have.
A homer?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
DeSantos, 2.5 minutes, Steve? Really? Do you hate Brazilians?
So, like, you know what?
DeSantos.
Fun exercise. You go on the road to Los Angeles. You win by double digits. The guy who basically has been the poster for the controversy for the last year goes out and has leads the team in minutes and has a largely a wonderful night. What awful question did y'all want asked? And not y'all. There's one person in the 510.
Right.
But what is it that you want asked? What are you mad about today? Anything?
I wonder.
What could you be mad at coming out of that game? That was awesome. Well, what a great start.
Lot of turnovers,
Mark. No, I get that for sure. Right. Like, but
I'm joking, but.
Do you know? Yeah. Like, okay. All right.
You came out and the first half was sloppy and they were sloppier. And that's why I asked him that. Is it early season like jitters? Is it rust? And he said, yeah, it just was a sloppy first half and it was sloppy for both. And there were too many whistles and it was really disjointed. And then you came out in the third quarter and you found a way to assert yourself and you took that game over and you never relented.
The Thunder came out and played a first half where they got outplayed and outscored.
I declared their season over at halftime.
I did. And at the end of the second half, and then the end of the next half after that, and the next half after that.
Man, that thing kept going.
#peacock.com.
Anyway, they're without their second best player, though. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, but the Rockets, they need to gel still, Grandy.
They don't have a point guard.
Exactly. They're without one of their best players, too. Anyway. Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also sponsored by Ceremony Ford. I need to tell you, coming up next, about the conversation I had with my dad on the way over here.
All right.
And part of it is about Peacock, and part of it is about Christian McCaffrey. Those two things.
That's a tease.
All right. On Withered and Dips.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Commands here in the front court. Kuminga gets it. Bounce pass to Draymond. Shovel to Curry. Chased by Vincent. Bumping all the way in the paint. Throws it over to Draymond. He attacks the paint. Comes across the lane. Feeds Kuminga. Three to shoot. Got to take a corner. Three under duress. And he hit it. DeAndre Ayton was right there. But Kuminga got a good release on. 4 of 9 from the floor now. It's his third triple.
I think he's gotten dramatically better. I think he's matured, and I think he's ready to really help us win a lot of games.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Man, keep getting me on these new ones.
I'll start.
Well,
offense.
They're all chatty this time.
Number Willard.
Yeah.
Repeat first down. Down.
Pause.
Pause.
They pause. They're like, you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The old ones were the old ones were so streamlined. It's like, hey Dibs, I like your picks.
Yeah, your picks stink.
Your
yeah.
pick stinks.
Bay Area, it's Guy Santos here. Hey Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah, 2:39, Guy.
I still think you make him sound so much more snivelly than he is. Hey, he's not that snivelly.
He's very breathy.
Bay Area, it's Guy Santos here. Hey Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah, dude, it's got a little breathy, but then it's just a regular, just a little laugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Not quite a Farhan. Not quite a Cosell. Yep.
I was actually laughing on my way to work today because gave old Pops a call. And,
work on your material.
Yeah. Well, I got some for you. So, rare opportunity to talk to Pops. Mom's not there. Mom's out playing cards with friends or something, talking, having rosé. I don't know what Mom was doing, but she wasn't home. So I'm talking to Pops, and Pops wants to talk sports, and he's got a couple problems that he needs to discuss. And one of them was this Peacock thing last night.
Oh, boy.
Now, did this affect you? Where were you?
I was in the office watching the other game on NBC,
okay.
And I realized when they went to overtime, okay, they're not going to just switch to the game I want to watch. I need to go to... I'll say Peacock because I'm not trying to derail. The nickname is the, it's not the Peacock, but you get the point. So I go from my Roku.
You better be careful.
I don't have to be careful because it's not a swear word and the FCC's got no jurisdiction over my use of the C word. So I'm watching. Yeah, thank you. That one you got to watch. I'm watching the one game on the Roku on the NBC and on my laptop, I go to the Peacock. And I start watching the Warrior game.
Okay.
And I missed the first 2 minutes.
Okay, but you had options.
It started before I thought that it would start. I thought they would wait until the other game ended. Whatever. It was annoying, and I get what your father's talking about.
Yeah, so, but apparently this really, really upset. And I get it. Like, come on. What are you and I not going to understand when we're 83 years old? Everything.
AI.
Exactly. I don't even know how anything's going to work. You got two people who just sat on their couch all day waiting for this game to start, and then all of a sudden, here comes the 2025 Warriors, and you throw at both of them, you need to switch over to Peacock. And they're like, I mean, my dad did what I know half of you did. He's like, there was a time where we had Peacock, and I think that it was like free. And then Peacock wasn't there anymore. I mean, try to get somebody to figure that out on the fly when they want to watch the game, and you end up in streaming hell. And people are asking for passwords and credit card numbers and all of this stuff. And so anyway, what my mom apparently is just raging about today, you just like, when that happens, then you got to offer Peacock for free. Just for those 32 minutes, I was like, yeah, right? I get it. But I'm like, I don't know if that's a button or just a lever that they can push where they're like, yeah, Peacock is free for the next 32 minutes. And what does that mean for the rest of the world who doesn't need to watch the Warrior-Laker basketball game? They're just like, hey, hon, Peacock's free. Let's, you know what I mean? Let's download this, that, or the, I don't know. But apparently this was wildly upsetting inside Tom and Ellen's home last night.
No doubt, and I'm sure it was in many homes. And my biggest issue is not with it being on Peacock, but it's the inability to toggle. And if I didn't have the TV and the laptop going, then, okay, if you want to watch both, all right, the Warriors and Lakers, it's 11-8. We'll be right back. NBC, great. So now you have to get out of Peacock, get over to NBC, you're trying to watch overtime, and you watch for 30 seconds, oh, back to my game, you get out of NBC, now you got to go to Peacock. It's the inability to switch between the two, that's what bugs me.
Now, here's what happens next, though.
Okay.
Pop goes, by God, I got a bigger problem. I got a bigger sports problem. There's one thing, it's Peacock, we'll get over it, it's one basketball game, there's 81 more. I got another problem, and it's about Christian McCaffrey. He goes, I don't know if I can watch the 49er game with your mom anymore.
Oh, boy.
And I said, wait a minute. Because y'all know this. Like, who you choose to watch with is potentially as important as the game itself. Am I wrong?
Depends. Depends on the situation. But yeah, I learned that from watching the Super Bowl with you and your kids.
That was your fault.
Whatever.
You're the one.
You and I go about things differently, but I don't want to derail your story.
No.
I learned a valuable lesson there.
What do you mean we go about things differently? You're the one who had one too many pops and decided to start antagonizing
you're
a teenager.
You're the one who has raised your children to beg for calls.
Let's go to Dibs, half in the bag.
Incorrect. Not half in the bag.
I did not. No,
he
was all the way in the bag.
Your kids are a chip off the old block. Begging for calls and blaming the ref. And I see where they get it from.
You're the only one on planet Earth who doesn't do that. Do you know that? I hate referee dibs. You're the only one.
Incorrect,
everybody watches anyway. So
who you watch with is very important.
Are you one of these people that thinks that Christian McCaffrey is touching the ball too much?
No. Okay. It's ludicrous. Luda.
Apparently at my parents' house, we have arrived at a spot where during a 49er game, any time that Christian McCaffrey touches the ball, my mother starts screaming at the television set in absolute furious anger. Every single time. He says, it's like the first quarter. The first quarter, Mac Jones, you turn around and hand the ball to Christian, and she'll go, why are they doing that? And he's like, I don't know what to do anymore.
Right. That's a great question.
I can't.
It really isn't.
Like, they give him the ball 30 times. So 30 times. It's like she doesn't want him to give him the ball at all. And I don't know if she's worried that he's going to get hurt or if she just doesn't understand that he's the best player or what it is. But she wants it to be sort of like the nursery school playground. Everybody needs to share.
Right.
And so it's not like my dad can just go to a bar. He's about to turn 83. All he wants to do is sit in his chair and watch the game. But he can't. He can't enjoy it because Christian gets the ball a lot. And every time he gets the ball, my mom is hucking flip-flops at the television screen.
Would she rather have the Niners lose?
I don't know.
And I'm not trying to get Tom to antagonize his wife of 50-whatever years. Coming up on 60, I'm sure.
I got to talk to her. Yeah.
Like, Mom.
Actually, yeah, what? How many years
you're are not,
they?
You're not his mother, and we want them to win. So let him tote the rock.
Yeah.
Because that's all they have right now.
Yeah, you're right. They are coming up on 60.
Yep.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Next year?
Yeah. It has to be.
June.
You're 50 and you've got an older sibling and they're in their early 80s and I don't think that they were a late found each other kind of couple.
No, and they certainly weren't having any children out of wedlock or anything like that.
No, back then you didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. June. 60 years. What should we do?
You got to take a trip.
Not a surprise. Take a trip? My God, it takes them an hour to get to the bathroom.
Fair.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Where are we going to go?
Maybe Catalina, you know? Do an overnight in Catalina.
Can you help me fix my phone?
What are we going to do? The woman's yelling at Christian McCaffrey all day long. Where are we going to go?
Probably nowhere. I do want to take 30 seconds before we go to congratulate our brother, Lorenzo Neal, who has been, he's moving on. And it might be the first time ever.
Next round?
He's on to the next round. Yes! Lorenzo Neal is officially a Pro Football Hall of Fame semifinalist. He's down to one of 52. I'm not sure if he's ever made it to this round before. I know he's been nominated like 10 times. And we always joked, break the seal with Lo Neal, because there's no true blocking fullback in the Hall of Fame. And this year, I think for the first time ever, he's moving on. I don't know if he's going to make the finals or get in, but the fact that he's made it an additional step is huge for the big fella.
That's
so
big. That's
congrats, Lo Neal.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, congratulations to Lo Neal. I didn't know that. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, I just saw it. Somebody brought it to my attention on Twitter and reminded me of Break the Seal with Lo Neal, which was my catchphrase, because the seal right now is locked for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There's no true blocking fullback in the Hall of Fame.
Right, right. But there is a punter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray Guy.
Yeah.
Worthy.
Okay.
And multiple kickers. A bunch of quarterbacks.
What are you doing, Grandy?
You guys just talked to Steve Kerr, right?
We did.
I think you'll hear from Steve Kerr once again.
I was hopeful, but I didn't want to assume. All right, Steve Kerr's coming up in a second. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, the pick is in.
And we're back to Splash.
Back to Splash.
Mark Spears, Ramona Shelburne, and more.
I got my eye on some other menu items. That food yesterday was good.
Dog.
Dude,
the nachos hit again last
night. Again.
We doubled the chicken.
Attaboy.
Oh, my God. It was so awesome. All right. For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.